Just allow yourself step into the place where you begin to access the kingdom realm, to be a part of everything that is going on in the kingdom of Daddy. Today we're just gonna study more about what transpires in the spirit realm and how it reflects on our lives on the earth. And the great man we'll consider today is the man Job. But we'll start by going to Job 1 and seeing how it all began, right? So in Job 1, there was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest man in that entire area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in each other's homes, and they would also invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. Sometimes after several days, Job would purify his children. Job was doing everything right. Job would purify his children just for hanging out and having parties. Like, even 7 days later, he would keep on with this process of making sure that his children were purified and walking with the Lord. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each one of them. In those days, that was a sacrifice that you used to cleanse your life. You know, those offerings were made as an atonement, and you would be pure in those days for an entire year when those offerings are made. So he was consistent in making sure that he kept up with the times to ensure his kids were living holy as well. Aside from that, we see that he was blameless in all his life. This was a man who loved the Lord. He would even say, for Job said to himself, perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular practice. Mine. Talk about commitment. Talk about a determination to live holy. Talk about a man who loved God with his heart and wanted to do right. This was the man Job, a man who was doing everything right. What do we find? What do we find wrong with such a man, right? Everything seems so perfect. And then in verse 6, we see a certain day came. We're looking at days in terms of earthly standards, right? But now let's go into Job 6 and let's see what a day looks like in heaven or in the courts of heaven. And the NLT translation tells you clearly that this is a day in the court of heaven. Your translation might say one day it was in heaven. One day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. I want you to know that you have access to this realm of heaven before your Father. And so picture yourself before this court, because the earthly court system and the picture of the way the earthly court seems, it's a good reference point for us to look into. So let's picture an earthly court where you see all the members of the court seated. Everyone is there. You have the plaintiff, you have the accuser, you have the lawyer there who is supposed to be a mediator. You have this setting. And you know, one thing with scripture is anytime this kind of terminologies are used, I just want you to begin to get used to these references, because when they are used, you picture that you are in a certain setting. When God is talking about him being the Ancient of Days or the Father, you picture him in a setting where he's revealing his fatherly love. But in a case where the Lord is being addressed as a judge, then I want you to clearly, you know, shift base to being in a court setting where he's ruling as judge, because he is judge, he is father, he is the Ancient of Days, you know, he is all of this. So in this case, we'll see who he represents, who he is in this setting. The accuser shows up. We know that's a term used in a court setting as well. The accuser, Satan, came among them. And the Lord asked the accuser, "Where have you been? Where have you come from?" The Lord asked Satan. And Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." And we know that in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, scripture tells us, stay alert, stay alert. The Lord is telling us, stay alert, people. Watch out for your great enemy, the accuser, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So clearly, that is what he does. And so when the Lord asked him where he was coming from, he's like, I'm from going to and fro the earth. He goes to and fro, not just walking from, you know, Zambia to Australia. No, he's going to and fro your generational line. He's going through your bloodline and finding legal grounds to bring to the court concerning your life. Like we read yesterday, he was demanding to sift Peter. He wanted to remove value out of Peter's life. So what he comes with in this court is the evidence of all the stuff he has gotten concerning you and I from going to and fro our generational line. So Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Like there's somebody who is looking around, who is searching, who is digging deep, finding reason to accuse you. And then the Lord answered Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Talk about God bragging on his son. You know, sometimes you will go through hard situations just because God is bragging on you and the enemy is out to prove him wrong that you do not measure up to that brag. He wants to take the bragging rights away from God concerning your life. Satan then replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You made him prosper in everything he does." Talk about living the good life. "Look how rich he is." This is now Satan complaining to God. Like, look at how rich he is. "But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." I'm going to try to bring this picture to an easier way for you to comprehend how these conversations are going on. So you see a loving father doting on his son, bragging about the life choices that his son has made. You know, this is what the Lord was bragging about concerning Job. And then the enemy is like, oh, you know, kind of like, why would you brag about him? What's there to brag about him? I mean, you've given him everything he wants. You have a hedge of protection around him. He doesn't lack for food. He doesn't lack for anything. Who won't serve you if they had all that protection and love and covering from you? Who won't do that? They're basically accusing God, like, you do all that for him, and now you're bragging. Like, who brags about something like that? And he's like, take all that away and let's see whether all the claims you have concerning this son of yours are true. There, right there, it shows me that you, my brother, you, my sister, have a hedge of protection around you. Who would have thought, right? Did you know that you have such a mighty hedge of protection around you that upsets the enemy so much because he can't reach you? He has a major frustration concerning the covering God has upon your life. You know, Ecclesiastes 10 verse 8 says, break the hedge. Whoever breaks the hedge, the serpent will strike. So we have this hedge of protection around us, and it's up to us to break this hedge. When we break that hedge, the serpent will strike us. But if that hedge is not broken, the serpent cannot strike us. We are so covered and so protected, and many times we don't realize that we are in charge of our protection. We are in charge of this hedge. We are the ones who have the power to keep this hedge intact, and we also have the power to create an opening by breaking the hedge. And when we break that hedge, the enemy will come in. Talk about understanding the things that are in the spirit realm that we cannot see. Now you see, now you know. I just want you to sit down in that hedge right now and say, Father, I thank you for this hedge of protection around my life. Oh, I thank you for this hedge, because I am yours and you are mine. Just imagine the love that covers you. Hedge that covers you, it's love, love, love. Oh, you were loved. If anyone ever told you you weren't covered, if anyone told you you weren't loved, that person is lying to you. You see, the enemy sees that covering, but maybe we don't even know. So sometimes we go and we get into some crazy business, and then we break our hedge, and then when the enemy attacks us, we turn around and we blame God. But then we have agreed with him to lie. We've agreed to him to sin, to compromise. We've agreed with the devil to toe in the path of the devil. And by doing so, we have opened the door for him to access us. You see, he can't access you when you sit in this hedge, when oceans rise. So we rest in your embrace, for I am yours. See, Satan can't break through that embrace that God has over you. You're the one that pulls away from that embrace. By going away from his covering, by leaving away, by making a way for the enemy to come in. Maybe you didn't know you were breaking the hedge. Maybe you didn't know that by getting into that deal, maybe you didn't know by just saying this one time, it's going to be okay. I'm sure I'm going to be forgiven. Maybe you didn't know, but now you know. You know there's an embrace around you, that heavens are away, that Satan can't touch you. There's a hedge around you right now. Arms of God surround you. Even hell can't come close to you. Demons can't touch you. You have the power. You have the power to keep it closed, to stay within the hedge. I want you to wrap your arms around yourself and just see the Father wrapping his arms around you. Tell the Spirit of God to lead you wherever. Just go deeper with him. Go deeper in an understanding with him and know that he loves you. Strengthen your faith in him, in the presence of your Savior. Let him lead you. Where my trust is without borders, let me walk upon the waters, wherever you will call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever walk. knowing that you are covered and that the enemy is frustrated that he can't get to you. So the Lord said in verse 12, "All right, you may test him." The Lord said to Satan, "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. When you continue through that chapter, you see that one day Job's sons and daughters were feasting, and then destruction came one after the other. Destruction came and took the lives of Job's children. And in verse 20, Job's response to the death of his sons and the destruction of everything was, he shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshipped the Lord in the midst of all of this. Job said, "I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. What a man. So in verse 2, one day the members of the heavenly courts came again to present themselves before the Lord. So apparently there's days that these members of the heavenly courts come to present themselves, right? It's like this is becoming a normal. That means there's a normal occurrence in the heavenly courts where sons of God come to present themselves. And even today, it continues to be so because we're still here and the accuser is still busy and the court is still seated. And the accuser, Satan, came with them. And the Lord asked him again, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "I have been going to and fro the earth, watching everything that's going on." The same pattern, like every time they are gathered, he comes and this is what his answer is. It's the same pattern, like, it doesn't change. Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God is still bragging on his son. "He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And he has maintained his integrity, even though you urged me to harm him without cause. In all this." So when you're going through that, when you're going through this season of your life where you've lost so much, where you're in so much distress, when you can't even seem to take another heartbreak and then you hit again and you still maintain your integrity, I'm telling you, all of heaven is bragging on you. All of heaven is cheering you on. All of heaven, and I join with the Lord and the members of the courts of heaven and the angelic host to cheer you on, my brother, my sister. You are a man of integrity. You are a woman of integrity. The Lord is proud of you, and you are coming out of this with so much glory, with so much honor. Satan replied to the Lord, "Skin for skin. A man will give up everything he has to save his life. But reach out. Take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said, "All right, do with him as you please," the Lord said to Satan, "but spare his life." See, the enemy can't touch your life, guys. You've been hit on every side, but he cannot touch your life. So Satan left the Lord's presence and he struck Job with terrible balls from head to toe. So from the top of Job's head to his foot were all these terrible boils on him, because Satan figured that, you know what, maybe all this external stuff he has are not as strong as if I afflicted Job with an infirmity. You must know that the infirmity you're going through is not of God. It is an affliction that comes from the kingdom of darkness. It is the enemy trying to get at you. He is the source of this kind of wickedness. And this is why the courts of heaven are available for you, so that when he stands there finding reason to accuse you, you are right there answering for every accusation, whatever he has picked up in your life to sift, whatever he has picked up from going down your generational bloodline to bring to the surface. Oh, your parents had diabetes, so you should have it. Oh, they were subject to, they murdered, they were idol worshippers, and they committed certain crimes, and so you're deserving of an infirmity. You are there to answer for those accusations. And there's a way to answer in the court that exonerates you from all of this. The blood of Jesus is available to you. Your mediator is there in court as well. In verse 8, we see that Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." You know, anytime I come to this place, I'm like, talk about a setup. Talk about a setup. There is a setup concerning your life that is happening in the spiritual realm, and it manifests in the physical. Satan had told the Lord. He told the Lord that if you take all of this stuff from Job, Job will curse you. This is what he said. And remember, the Lord was bragging on Job's integrity. There's conversations going in heaven that you hear someone on earth begin to spew it out. The same words he said. He said, he told God, "See if Job will not curse you to your face." Now his own wife, the closest person to him, the person who should be strengthening him in his faith walk, is speaking to him in the voice of the accuser, in the voice of Satan. Curse God and die. Job should do what Satan was saying to God that Job would do. Who are you listening to, my beloved? You know, sometimes you hear someone come at you. You see physical people, your loved ones, your friends, people you trust, people you expect better from. They are the very ones accusing you. And that's why I say, whatever you hear someone say against you is already an accusation that is made against you in the courts of heaven. And so you need to go to the courts of heaven and answer for them. Because when somebody begins to accuse you in the external, in the earth realm, know that it's a discussion that is already taking place in the spirit realm. Pay attention to it and don't let it slide, because the longer you stay, those accusations will just multiply and there will be grounds to get you into a pickle. You don't want to get there. Don't take these things that people say about you lightly. Deal with them in the spirit. You are a spirit being. Take control. Step in. Lord, I just want to thank you for this amazing people that have come here today. Come here today into your presence to engage you, Father, to know you deeper, to love you more. Masking, they're able to know that we are yours and you are mine. Tell the Lord, I know that you are mine and I am yours. Tell the Lord, I thank you because you watch over me. You defend me. You are my defender. I thank you because you brag on me. I thank you because I am your beloved. I thank you because you hold true to your covenants with me. I thank you because you defend me where it matters. You defend me against the accusations of the enemy. I thank you because you are always for me. I thank you for blessing me and protecting me. I come today to decree that my faith is in you alone. I stand here to say, God, that you will not do anything evil to me, that your plans for me are for good, to give me a future and an expected end, Lord. I will not take the lies of the enemy. I will not fall victim of the enemy's accusations and lies, Lord. I will press on against all odds. I will press into you, God. I will hold on to every promise you have given me, God. I will not be a victim of the things that I do not see, God. I see who you are today. I know that you are seated high. You are high and lifted, Lord. And you have called me to this high and lifted position, Lord. You have called me a woman and a man of integrity. I will not sell myself short, Lord. I will not compromise because of the things that hit me. I will not compromise because of the things that come at me. Because I know whom the enemy is. You are not the enemy. I will walk with the leading of your spirit. I choose you. I choose you in the daytime. I choose you in the nighttime. I choose you in the darkest times. I choose you against this affliction. I choose you in my loss. I choose you in my pain, in my tears, in my sickness. I will choose you. Oh, Skente, say, Father, I choose you in the good times, in the bad times. Oh, I choose you in the feasting times. I choose you in the morning times. God, I choose you. I choose you when the sun is shining. I choose you when the moon is out, when the sun is no longer shining. I choose you, Father. I thank you because your presence in my life is unshakable. Your covering over my life is unshakable. So, Father, I lean in deeper into you. I say, lead me. Call me, Father. Take me deeper, but to where my feet will never wander away from you, that my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I thank you because you gave Jesus Christ. How much more will you not give me all things? You who gave me Jesus Christ, you will give me all things. So, Father, I begin to shift my perspective right now to focus on you. And when everyone around me is telling me lies and telling me all these evil things that you have done against me, I hold to the truth. And I will call upon your name. I will call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. Where the oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours. God, you are mine. You are mine. You are mine. In an embrace that is unshakable, unbreakable. Thank you, God. God bless you for tuning in today. Just continue to explore the love of God over your life. Know that you are so loved. We are delighted to see you thrive as a spirit being, worshiping God in spirit and truth, one who is one spirit with God, the Father of all spirits. You can follow us at Spirit Talks with Nadia on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. If you like our content, we would appreciate your feedbacks. Please leave us some reviews or comments on any of our social media handles. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you immediately get notifications every time we upload a new episode. Thank you so much for coming on this journey with us into the Father's kingdom.